Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks for tuning in. If you don't yet know, or maybe it's your first time with us, stumbled upon us by chance, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Rogers Studio, where we in turn go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So here we are, and let's talk about the movie in question, guys, as we gather here at Jolly Roger Studio to tell you what we thought.
Right.
That movie this week on Netflix, we are queuing up the 2002, let's see what happens when P.T. Anderson takes a shot at comedy.
Kinda.
Punch Drunk Love. There
punch
it is.
Drunk Love.
Not Drunk Punch Love.
I said no, punch that, drunk that's love. A different movie.
I was just checking.
Okay.
This film stars Adam Sandler, Emily Watson, Philip Seymour Hoffman, the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, Louise Guzman, and I can never say her name, Chloe from 24.
Mary Lynn Raskob.
Raskob.
Raskob?
I guess that's what I say. I just call her Chloe.
She's the girl with that face from 24.
Okay.
The Adam face.
The pouty face. Yeah. So if you've seen this film, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take on it. Or heck, if not, if you haven't seen it, even better reason to keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself.
Right.
That's the way this game is played.
Or if you listened last week, maybe you watched it already.
Yeah, or maybe so. Yeah, there you go. That's actually the way the game is played.
That's how
you listen last week, you watch the film, and this week, you enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
And shake your fist at your computer.
Yeah. And you make the Chloe face as you do it.
Yeah.
So once again, the Q Filmcast, here we are. I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I didn't, what did I not do? Oh, I know, I didn't call, get harassed on the phone.
That's good.
By people in Utah.
No.
I was not accosted by four blonde gentlemen.
No.
Yet.
Didn't have to drive to a mattress store 300 miles away.
Good.
To set it straight.
Yeah.
You good. Didn't figure out a healthy choice, scam?
Scam?
No, I have one. I already have
Oh,
one.
But
it's not the same one.
No.
Yeah. You didn't spend all your money on pudding.
I don't know. Pudding
did
pops,
you,
do they count?
Did you fly to Utah with a phone receiver in your hand?
Just couldn't seem to let go of it. Yeah. Just cannot. Matter of fact, it's still with me. Look at this.
All good things.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, I'm doing fine, Savage. I'm doing okay. None of those things happened. I'm in good shape.
Good shape.
And a hoodie, the patron saint of quality outdoor. Why are you wearing a blue hoodie?
It's a green hoodie.
It's blue. It's three straight days in the same blue hoodie.
Green. It's green. And it's my comfort hoodie. It's mine.
You have a blue suit that looks just like it?
It's green.
Okay. I don't think you follow me.
I got it. I got it now.
Okay.
I was very offended. And I was like, this guy is colorblind. I've worn this thing for...
Actually, you know what? This would have worked better with Max because he is in a blue shirt.
Right.
Always in a blue shirt.
Yeah. Interesting. Is it always the same blue shirt day after day?
No,
after
I have nine multiple. Of them.
Oh, okay. Unlike my hoodie.
I like your hoodie, too.
It's the same. And it's green.
You should call it your whoopee.
Max Gumbo Johnson, anyway,
hey,
there you are.
What's happening?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm ready to talk about this film.
Me too. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. We should just keep talking about other P.T. Anderson films like There Will Be Blood after
oh,
this.
We could do a three-hour show on that movie. Good. I'm just going to come out and say that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
listeners, I teased him. I knew he'd take the bait.
Yeah, right.
I loved it.
You just dangled it right.
Yeah. I want to see his eyes light up.
Yeah. This movie is just for people who have seen There Will Be Blood. We're not going to talk about Punch Drunk Love.
How about the producer, Adam? The greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
What about me?
That's what I say.
You sound a little bit like Barry Eakin right there.
Says it all.
So that's the film, Punch Drunk Love, 2002. Man, that's older than I thought.
Yeah,
I seen this a long time ago, so it was kind of like a new film for me. Selected by me, I queued this thing up. So let's get into it, guys. Here we go. People who liked this film also liked Annie Hall, Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 500 Days of Summer.
Woohoo.
The Fisher King and Garden State. I think they probably liked other films, too.
No, Fisher just those King five. And,
yeah, just those five. Just they hated all of the films.
Right.
I would probably have to add... Well, I don't know what other film I could add to that list. Anyways, I'll go on there. Mm. I'll I'll approve that list.
You could add Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. You could add Falling Down.
You could add a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This inspired a top three. Now, we had some discussion about this.
Yeah.
They all inspire a top three, and we talk about this at the end of the film. This top three is, is it top three emotional breakdowns or fits of rage?
I'd say either or.
Yeah. Okay, let's go either or on that. I'm going to put it up there as emotional breakdowns because fits of rage would fit under that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying, Hoodie?
Yeah.
It's all-encompassing.
It's green.
I say all-encompassing right. a lot. Adam, what do you think of that?
I like fits of rage better.
Okay, we're going to go. That means we're going to go emotional breakdowns.
I'm not liking this!
I think we just saw a fit of rage.
Did you knock a beer over again?
Yeah. Go over there and tip that beer over again. That way we can actually see a fit of rage and know what we're talking about. This film was written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Some people say P.T. Anderson.
I say P.T. Because he's my bud.
He is your bud. He directs. He's made some great films. And I have some really good trivia on him, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, The Master, and Heart 8, and the upcoming Inherent Vice.
Cannot wait to see that.
You know, I thought I was disappointed in The Master until I saw it twice.
I love that movie.
I saw it the second time. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember when we saw it in the theater, we were all kind of like, what?
I still don't get it, but I love it.
You're right.
I'll tell you, Joaquin Phoenix and Hoffman were a powerhouse in that.
Joaquin Phoenix was brilliant in that film.
This film surprised a lot of people because he said, give me Adam Sandler. He said, give me Philip Seymour Hoffman, Emily Watson, and Chloe from 24.
Mary Jane Raska.
Let's talk about ratings before we get into ours. We always do that, throwback to the critics. What do you think IMDb?
What the hell was that?
Gee, Mr. Haney, what do you think IMDb gave this? Where'd that come from? What the hell was that? I just summoned Gomer Pyle.
Nice Green Acres reference.
That was strange. IMDb, Savage. What do you think they gave?
Let's get it right this time.
7.8.
Close. Outside the margin of error. By just a small margin of error. It's 7.3.
Wow. It was the same thing as last week. Are you sure you didn't get your notes confused?
Wait, did I? I may have.
I'm looking at 7.3.
Okay, no, I got it right.
Oh, there it is.
It got me thinking because I copy these notes from one show to the next. I'm like, maybe I left all information on here. Right. By the way, I've done that before and just didn't tell you guys. I'm not going to tell you what show it was.
Oh, no.
Like, nah, we'll slip that in. I think it was close enough, though, so I didn't feel too bad about it. Rotten Tomatoes, Hoodie. I want you to tell me what you think the critics, percentage-wise, gave Punch Drunk Love. Shut up, Action Chief.
84, I want to say.
You need to cheat from a legitimate source.
Oh.
79%.
That's pretty close.
You're always close.
What do you think the users gave this film?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
89.
88.
77%.
Ow.
Let's talk about what this film is. Punch Drunk Love, 2002, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. This dark comedy centers around Barry Egan, a socially impaired owner of a small business distributing novelty toilet plungers. Adam's dream job.
Adam Sandler's.
Oh, that's right. In the San Fernando Valley, dominated by seven sisters and constantly negotiating his own manhood, he is unlikely to find romance until romance finds him. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. In an attempt to resolve his loneliness, Barry contacts a phone sex operator, who in turn threatens him with blackmail. The operator sends some thugs on a mission from Utah to California to follow, scare, and extort poor Barry, making him unhinged and desperate. That is, until a new door opens in his life. One of his sisters fixes him up with Lena, a lovely yet quirky young English woman who makes his emotions go haywire, fluctuating between lust, self-doubt, and uncontrollable rage. Nonetheless, Barry will embark upon whatever adventure it takes just to have a shot at true romance. Not to mention a stunning amount of pudding.
Oh, yeah.
So
stunning.
I think the synopsis is about as weird as the movie.
Right.
You're like, huh? I heard pudding. I heard rage. I heard plungers.
Pudding rage.
You heard pudding. You heard pudding. You heard rage. You heard plungers. You heard sisters. What you heard was Punch Drunk Love 2002. And here's a trailer. We'll come back and tell you what we thought in just a minute.
Hi, this is Georgia.
This is Barry Egan.
So what do you do, Barry?
I have my own business. We have a non-breakable handle. Let me demonstrate for you.
You're married, aren't you?
No.
Barry, it's your sister.
There's this friend of mine from work, and I want you to meet her. This is Lena.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
It must be weird for you to have so many sisters.
Actually, no, it's very nice.
All right. Remember we used to call you gay boy and get all mad?
What's that?
We were calling you gay boy and you got so mad.
I saw your picture and I really wanted to meet you.
Ha ha ha. What are you lying?
No.
I
get too far along on going out and be hiding something.
This is Barry.
Hey, it's Georgia.
How did you get this number?
I was wondering if maybe you could help me out with some money.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
You've just made a war for yourself that you can't afford.
I'm going to Hawaii on Friday.
Hawaii? I was thinking about going there.
Really?
I'm going to start a collection of puddings and coupons that can be redeemed for freaking flyer miles.
That's insane.
This is Barry.
You canceled your credit card.
That's a bunch of bull! Get your supervisor on the phone!
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
You're sick.
No. Shut up! Are you threatening me?
Yes.
That wasn't good! You're dead! Help me! Help! Help!
And all at once I knew
I have so much strength in me, you have no idea. I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine.
Punch Drunk Love, 2002, written and directed by P.T. Anderson, starring Adam Sandler and Emily Watson, late Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was that trailer from it, and that's what we're about to talk about. And by the way, forgot to mention this earlier. You want to keep up with the Q Film Cast? Say yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Now, that was dumb. Several ways to do so. Obviously, if you're Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all that. But you want to go to the QFilmCast.net. You're darn right you do. You go there and you tell us your review of this film we're about to talk about. We like that. Like feedback. Let's get into the movie, guys. We like to talk about a little bit of facts, figures, trivia, things.
Things-es.
I like things-es-es.
Things-es-es?
Things-es-es about the film.
So a veritable did you know kind of thing.
A veritable did you know.
All right.
Let's talk about P.T. Anderson. Did you know he was considered one of the first of the video store generation of filmmakers? His father was the first man on his block to own a VCR. And from a very early age, Anderson had an infinite, a lot, I know the etymology of it. Number of titles available to him.
So he owned a VHS store?
His dad was the first one on the block to have a VCR.
But where was the VHS store?
Oh, the VHS, oops, yeah, right next door to the Betamax store. The Beta store. The VHS store. Did you know that when...
A little mistake.
I love it. Did you know that when Barry punches his office wall and then rests his bloody hand on the piano? The cuts on his knuckles, if you look, spell the word love.
No. Get out of town.
No, go back and look. Yeah, I like, wow, it does.
Yep, it sure does.
It's interesting when you read these things before you watch
the
film. You
should have called everybody and told us that before you watched the movie.
During a promotional interview from Magnolia, a British journalist asked Paul Thomas Anderson which actors he would like to work with in the future. Anderson quickly replied that he'd like to work with Adam Sandler and Daniel Day-Lewis. The journalist believed Anderson was joking because the two actors are from such different backgrounds and have such very different styles, but he wasn't joking.
No.
He had a thing for Sandler. He knew something, I guess. A subplot of the film was inspired by an article in Time magazine about David Phillips, a University of California civil engineer, who stumbled upon a lucrative frequent flyer promotion. By purchasing 12,150 cups of Healthy Choice pudding for just $3,000, he accumulated 1.2 million. Air miles.
That's insane.
Yeah, somebody didn't think that through.
That's a substantial amount of pudding.
I'd have done it.
I'll do it right now.
If I had $3,000.
What if you had to eat the pudding, though? Could
I'd
you
eat
$3,000 worth of pudding?
Yes.
What are they going to do, watch you?
I don't know.
Right.
Just as the film was entering production, the long-term relationship between Chloe from 24.
Chloe.
Yeah. And composer John Byron came to an end, which meant that during the score, because he helped score the film, during the scoring process, there were days when Byron was forced to watch his ex-girlfriend on screen for up to 8 hours a day.
Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. I think that kind of tension probably helped the film.
Brian did Eternal Sunshine, too.
Oh, did he?
I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but I was watching this and I was making that connection to it with the music.
So. Get on that, producer. That's interesting. To me.
The best part about that, though, is when he was trying to get over his breakup with Chloe, he encouraged Fiona Apple to write some songs, which became Extraordinary Machine.
Great album.
Which is interpreted to be about her breakup with Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, my God.
That's the best fun fact I think I've ever heard.
It's incredible.
Ever.
We're editing out everything but that.
Right. Look at you, Matt.
Did you know that the four brothers who muscle Barry are played by four actual brothers?
Yeah, I figured that from the credits.
Did you know that Roger Ebert wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times that Sandler liberated from the constraints of formula reveals unexpected depths as an actor. Watching the film, you can imagine him in a Dennis Hopper role. He has a darkness, obsession, and power thing about him.
I can see that.
Yeah, I would love to see more of that.
Yeah, he should have gone more in that direction.
I wish he would.
I want, no, just keep bringing Grown Ups 3 and 4 and 5. That's all I need.
I just want a darker version.
Let's talk about currency because, you know, we don't do thumbs up or thumbs down. Nope. We don't do stars.
No.
Why is that, man?
Because it's stupid.
It's stupid. And tonight it's obvious. God, is
25 cent healthy choice single serve cups of pudding.
Gosh.
Can we just call them pudding
cups? We can just call them pudding cups.
No, I like no, you got the sentence wrong. It's pudding cups, not cups of pudding.
Let's talk about ratings. Punch Drunk Love, 2002, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Adam Sandler. Pudding
sure,
cups.
Sure, it's been on my radar for a while. Well, since 2002, I've never seen this film.
Never?
No, never saw it and, up until last night. Man, I love this film. I got to go with a 9.
It's weird.
It's weird. I don't see the comedy thing at all. No. But,
oh, yeah, it's funny.
Well, we'll get into it. It's a 9. I was really, really impressed with this. I like P.T. Anderson's work. I mean, sometimes, you know, like we said about Gilliam a couple weeks ago, he can get a little too quirky. Man, I thought he was firing on all cylinders right here with what he wanted to do with this film. Mm-hmm. I thought he just nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hoodie.
Hey.
Pudding cups. How hungry are you? How many pudding cups you got to munch on tonight?
I was thinking just 8, but then I started thinking about why I was giving it an 8, and I had to give it a 9. So I'm going to go with James here again, 9 pudding cups.
Oh, okay.
Well, chocolate pudding cups.
We got a little bit of heat coming in. Have you seen this? How many times have you seen this film?
I actually didn't really like it the first couple times I watched it, and I couldn't really put my finger on why, but it grows on you the more you watch it.
Yeah.
We'll get into it, I guess.
Yeah, we got some things to talk about, yeah. 9 for you. 9.
9.
Sweet number 9. Producer, let's go straight to you. Number what are you going to give this film?
I'm giving this $1.50 pudding cups. That's as much as I'm going to spend on it.
What does that even mean?
That's right. Figure it out.
I think that's a joke.
$1.50.
That's the price of a real pudding cup.
I don't understand.
Six.
Thank you.
Why would that be a 6?
25 cent pudding cups.
Oh, God. I wasn't in the mood for that. I'm looking at notes here. Nicely done, though. I like the way he did that.
Yeah.
6996 from the producer. That brings us
six quarters. I get it.
Max Gumbo Johnson. We're talking about Punch Drunk Love. We're giving out pudding cups. How many are you going
to
get?
If I had to rate this on 25 cent, healthy choice, single serve, pudding cups, I would give it 9.
9 pudding cups.
9 pudding cups.
You would or you are?
I am. Okay. I will. I am giving it that. Okay. I am giving it 9 pudding cups. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Right.
Which is not shabby.
That's not too shabby. Let me tell you something.
That's rare. A max 9 is rare.
I thought I'd
probably... I don't hand out 9s every day.
No, he doesn't. I think I'm right on board with you guys. I really do because I thought, well, I'm probably going to give it... You know, you kind of come in like, I think I might give it this before you watch it. And then either under-delivers or over-promises or whatever, but... I'm going 9 because I thought I'd give it a 7.
Look at that.
I liked it. God, I like this film. It's a quick bullet, and there's much to ponder. It's slick, refrains from overindulgence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It could have done it, could have taken a bait. It just hits you with endless quick jabs, too, right to the middle of your brain. You know what I'm talking about? Just a little quick jab, boom, boom. It's only like a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, it is fairly quick.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's a, like 1 hour and 35 minutes. Nothing wasted in here.
Nothing wasted. So, yeah, we all like the film. Yeah.
We're at a 42... cups of pudding there.
Well, let's get into the film. Now we have a little bit of heat for this one. Man, 4 9s and then a straggler.
An upside down 9. Right. I don't know why.
Hey, look, you know what? That's not bad. Right. If only one key on your computer worked, you could rate this movie tonight. Just turn the page upside down.
It'd have to be a typewriter.
Yeah, right. Well, typewriter, whatever. What's a typewriter?
I have no idea.
Well, let's talk about the reasons. And first thing I want to do is go over to Hard Sub Savage. He gave this a 9, liked the film. Talk about why you went up on this, just some things. What you got to say?
Coming in as first time viewer. Watching it. P.T. Anderson, he's got a certain style. You kind of know when you're watching one of his films, and each one is so quirky that they almost kind of occupy their own space, you know? So each one is so different in a way. It's not like Gilliam, like we discussed a couple weeks ago, who you know immediately that's a Gilliam film, just for stylistically. P.T. Anderson, it's more subtle because it's more grounded in conventional reality. Mm-hmm. Or more contemporary reality. But he knows how to frame a shot. He knows how to light a scene, man.
He knows how to use music,
too. Oh, the opening scene where Adam Sandler's in that concrete, empty warehouse, just his desk.
He's lonely.
I knew right then, it's like, I love this movie already, just for this shot. If this was the only shot in this film, I love this film already. And it just builds on that. And it's just enough quirk. And Adam Sandler, we are culturally conditioned to expect a certain performance from Adam Sandler, kind of like the Jim Carrey, the Jack Black. It's hard for these guys to escape their caricature, you know, or the cliche that they have become culturally. But you know what I'm saying. It's like we're conditioned to expect a certain performance by these certain characters, you know, who do what they do very well, very successfully. But this is kind of out of typecast, I would say. I think Adam Sandler pulled it off, man. I think he was just disturbed enough. I fell in love with the tragedy of this guy, kind of like I did with Night Train to Lisbon, the tragedy of that guy. Mm-hmm. The tragedy of this lonely guy. And I don't know, maybe that's something about me where I resonate with, you know, the tragedy of the lonely guy. And then the Seven Sisters.
Yeah. You know, this guy's just been emasculated his whole life. He didn't know what a man's supposed to feel like.
No.
He's been
no.
covered up his whole life. It's aching there to get out.
And, you know, he's so contained that these bursts of rage, you know, it's amazing he's not a damn psychopath, really. It's a really well-crafted film. It's a beautiful film to look at. And it's full of such oddities, like the wreck at the beginning and the drop off of the harmonium. Who would have thought to put this together with this lighting, with this impact?
Yeah,
I really fell in love with this. I don't know how you could not have liked it on first blush, because at first blush, this thing, it seemed like somebody I wanted to take home, and I wasn't punch drunk, but I was certainly in love.
Hoodie, you went 9, right? Yeah, go ahead and tell me some things that come to mind when you talk about this film and why you gave it such a high rating.
Yeah, sure. One thing that's always really grabbed me about this was the music, especially at the beginning in the warehouse when he was going through everything, when the sisters kept calling one at a time, the music kept escalating and escalating. And I always knew that it was meant to be louder than the dialogue, but it always kind of bothered me. Until really just a couple of years ago when I watched this again. And then it really was kind of like, oh, that's actually fantastic. That's actually what's going on in his head. Mm-hmm. And the piano, is as timid as he was about, stealing it, I don't really think that was stealing.
No.
But, going into his office, he's going through all this chaos in his head. It's all confusing. Yeah. And I think the light actually, the weird, the rainbow Beck lights actually play with that too. He's just messed up in his head. This is just an extension of that. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole thing. He goes into the office, closes the door, and just for a second, just pushes on the keys, and everything stops. The music stops, and that's that. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Great. That's one of the best, I pick up on music and films a lot, and that's one of my favorite things about this movie, was that one scene.
I think Anderson's a master at it, because I'm telling you, There Will Be Blood is some of the best use of music I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Johnny Greenwood.
That opening scene is one of the best things I've ever heard.
Seeps into you. But this film gave me the same kind of effect. I thought this was maybe not quite as powerful as There Will Be Blood, but it was just as effective in a lot of ways. Gumbo Johnson, 9.
Yep.
What you got to say?
Cups of pudding.
9 cups of pudding. Why did you go up high on this film? What's your thoughts? Overall basic thoughts.
You know what? It's hard. I was telling Matt before we came in here to do the show, I really don't know what to say about this movie. All I know is that I really, really liked it. Sandler was perfect in this. He's known for these goofy comedies, but in the dramatic stuff I've seen him in, he's pretty good. I wish he would do more of it.
Yeah.
Maybe I would start to like the guy again. and I don't mean that facetiously. No. Because the stuff he puts out now is just such utter garbage.
Yeah, it's check cash and stuff.
And it's so sad to see that he's capable of something like this.
Yeah, it's Nick Cage money.
And what was the other one? I can't think of it.
Funny People.
And he's capable of that, and it's like, God, why don't you do more of that?
Yeah.
Are you gonna be like a reverse Robert De Niro here or something?
Yeah. I think Adam was it you that was telling me about he picks his movies based on the location?
Yeah, so he can have a trip with his friends.
Yeah. Like Michael Caine. Right?
Yeah, like Michael Caine.
Right.
It was, the tone of this was so good, and it was consistent throughout.
Yeah.
It never wavered from that slightly offbeat, I don't know if it's a comedy, I don't know if it's a drama sort of thing. The whole way everything was set up with his sisters, and the way he was just continually beat down by them
his whole life.
And to jump in, he was the build up with Adam Sandler from the beginning to the end when he actually explodes. You see that, from even like when he's mad to when he's in Hawaii and he's excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have that nice shot of him like walking, and he gets out of the plane, he's walking down, he starts running, then stops and walks again.
Yeah.
I mean, that excitement and rage and
he does
whatever.
He does it in the supermarket too when he's with Louis Guzman.
Yeah,
finding the pudding, and he's dancing. And
so that stuff is just in him, and it seems to build and build and build.
Yeah.
Very I mean, smoothly through the whole movie, right
naturally.
Up to the end. Yeah,
it seems almost natural to me. It's hard to say that you can't imagine somebody else besides Adam Sandler doing this
dramatic role.
Yeah, and he pulled that suit off really well too.
Yeah, he was in. He wore that suit through every scene of the movie except one.
I guess we can hope for a Punch Drunk Love too. Punch Love Drunker.
No.
It's not going to happen, is it?
I don't hope for Punch Drunk Love.
I'll tell you, my thoughts after watching this was just quickly. Someone really knew how to make this particular film. That person was Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
It is unique. It's odd. Very smart to me because it's cutting. The humor is biting in this, too. I mean, it's not just like, you know, off the rack, slapstick. No. It's funny, but in a way that I don't even know if I can call it just your typical dark comedy. It really is biting humor.
Yeah. It's a sad funny.
Sad funny, man. But
you shouldn't laugh, but...
A lot of that. Yeah. So it's very unique to me. That's the word that comes to mind. Even for an Anderson film, it's still just unique.
Yeah, that's really all Adam Sandler too. I mean, just his faces and the way he held himself through the whole thing is just naturally funny. Maybe that's why he's the only guy that can do this.
His face says one thing, but you can almost see in back of that his soul is saying something else. Like when he smiles at her at that table before he tears up the bathroom.
Right.
I'm smiling at you, but you know, don't call me that again. But the characters are delivered quick too. I like that. And with precision. You know everything you need to know about each and every person in this thing by the simplest things. Especially with the score. Once again, not to harp on the music too much. But it's brilliant. I mean, through and through. Nothing's overdone here. And that's the thing I also liked about it. No one takes the bait. I think he knew he needed to thread the needle here very, very tightly. There's a place you could have went to where it could have just fallen off the edge. He doesn't do that. It relied on nothing conventional. And I'll agree with you completely. Sanders. Barry Sanders was great in this film. Colonel Sanders, he was good too. No, I'm talking about Sandler. Sorry about that. Sandler was great. Watson was great. Hoffman was great. Even Guzman was great. And once again,
Guzman's great in everything.
Yeah. Once again,
he shows
though,
up in the suit.
He does. <Another guy. laughs> It just like that told me something. I don't know what it told me, but it was like, okay, I got him. You know.
Right.
But I felt like I knew as much about him also as I needed to. Just by, for example, the way he looked at Watson in that one shot, you knew right then he's been working with Barry long enough to know. Okay. This girl must be absolutely out of her mind to date this guy. He looked at her like, you have no idea, honey, what you're doing. And all of that, I knew right then he'd been working with him a long time, and he probably understood Barry more than anybody else, just by the way he looked in that one shot at Watson. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And for example, I kind of asked myself the same question about this. You know, why would she be attracted to this guy? It was answered to me in a 20-second part of a score. He needs me. He needs me.
Yeah.
Right then, I know. This woman just needs to be needed. That's all she needs. Barry needs her more than any man on earth. And that is what this woman wants. She wants someone to need her. Only because he threw in that bit of score.
Yeah.
It told her whole backstory to me. I started imagining how many times she's not been needed. And here comes Barry. They were made for each other. And that's a genius punch-drunk love.
Yeah, it's called codependence.
Yeah, it's ridiculously precise, ridiculously streamlined. Ridiculously entrancing. That's the way I felt about it. Let's bring it down just a bit. Anyway, sorry, a little long-winded there. I'd like the film. But Adam, producer, you gave this a 6.
Yes.
You're not going to join us up high on 9, but why did you give this a 6?
Okay, first of all, I want to say I love Paul W.S. Anderson films.
Don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Okay. I took a chance on this movie way back when it came out. I bought it on DVD because I love Boogie Nights so much. But when I started watching it, I just could not get into it. I hated it until he finally turned into the Adam Sandler, this violent guy.
Things you could understand
the rage
a little
came
bit better.
Until he hulked out is basically what you're saying.
We've heard this story so many times.
And that's the only one I actually started really liking the film. And I would have went lower if it would have stuck with the way the story
the
was going
toast,
at the beginning. But other than that, it was the music. Matt brought it up. It was so loud and annoying.
That's the point.
I know, but it took away so much from me. I could not stand it. I thought it was overused.
It was fighting with the music in his head.
Yeah, Adam, the fact that you were annoyed and the fact that you wanted to get up and just crawl out of your skin because of it makes it perfect.
No,
you became Barry Egan, and that's what it was trying to do to you.
And speaking of Barry Egan, Adam Sandler, I think Adam Sandler was just playing a milder version, but more violent version of parts he played in the past that you don't see behind the scenes.
You can see some of the, you know, the SNL Yelling when he would look at the camera, you know, all that stuff. That
What's
kinda,
your
you know,
name, sir?
Yeah, some of that stuff kind of came out, which I enjoyed. Yeah. And that's
it,
part
it worked
of the,
here.
That's what I was going to say. But, that maybe softened the character and made him more likable because you could attach that old Adam Sandler to him.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really want to talk about, and it's not necessarily a scene, but it's kind of like a theme through the whole thing. The movie starts, obviously, with the car crash.
Yeah.
And at the tail end of the car crash, the piano is set down.
I still don't understand the car crash.
I don't, but it is a theme. Like, the theme being that there's like a loud disturbance, a noise every time there's like a major plot point or something's introduced into the story. So you got, I wrote it down. Right. So you have the truck crash piano. When he picks it up, that's when the truck drives by.
Yeah.
You got that. You have the forklift crash. Do you remember that?
Yes, I
do.
That's
when he's going, you know, all crazy and the forklift just goes nuts. And then you have the car hit. When the car hits them, loud crash, they spin around, and that's where he, like, really snaps.
He turns into superhero.
Right, that's like the, I guess, would that be the third act? Not really.
It'd be the Hulk moment.
Right, but that's what really triggers it.
It kind of is the third act, though.
You know, every change in him is really triggered by a really loud noise.
God, that's good. I didn't consider that. So every crash amped it up.
Right.
Amped him up.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or broke out of, I mean, broke through.
Something.
Yeah.
Right. And those are all things that I've always loved but never really could put my finger on as to, you know, why does this have to open with a truck crashing down the road?
Yeah, for no reason.
What's the significance of that? And then a piano set out. He picks up the piano. A truck drives by. Then we see the same truck later in the film.
Yeah.
What's the deal? What's happening with this? This is one of the reasons I really like the movie. And one of the things that I just hate, I can't figure it out. I'm just not there. I'm not smart enough. I can't get to it.
Let's talk to Savage here real quick. What do you got to talk about in this film when you look back at this film?
There's a ton of stuff, really. I mean, well,
pick out something.
The craft work, first and foremost. It's P.T. Anderson makes good films. I mean, just they're visually appealing. They're symbolically meaningful.
And they get better as you watch them.
Yeah, and they're well acted. He chooses his actors, and I don't know if so much they choose him. You know, there's certain actors that want to work with certain directors. And when you have that kind of symbiotic relationship, when it's working well, it works really well. When Philip Seymour Hoffman popped up, it was like, I was kind of surprised, but then, you know, I immediately was like, why am I surprised?
Yeah.
You know, it's, but I guess I like going into Act Three, where he's kind of Hulk mode when Sandler's Hulk mode. That scene where he snaps, but it's that cold snap.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Well, he's a guy on a mission. He knows what he's got to do.
He's like, all right, you want some of this? You mess with the wrong guy right now. And boom, 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 boom. What?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. And there was something so powerful about him just walking into that place, holding the phone receiver that he left with. I was like, my God, this guy's been thinking about nothing else.
Yeah.
He's had that grip on that receiver for hours, and that's it.
Yeah, and I tell you what, real quickly, I want to jump in here before I forget this. That's my favorite scene right there, because when he looks at Hoffman and says, I have a power in me, I have a love in my life.
The stare down.
That gives me more power than you could ever imagine. It almost made me kind of quiver a little bit. It's like, man, what kind of power are you talking about, man?
And you believe it.
Yeah. So
and he believed it, and that's one of the best lines ever. Just say, that's that, mattress man.
Yeah. Right.
That's that. And then he walks out, get out of here. I warned you, that's that.
Get that, that's it.
I didn't do anything. A nice man. I mind my own business. So you tell me that's that before I beat the hell from you. I have so much strength in me, you have no idea. I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine. I would say that's that, mattress man.
You came all the way from L.A. to tell me this.
Yes, I did.
Tell the cops?
No.
All right. That's that.
No, the stare down. I mean, Hoffman is a powerful actor. I mean, a powerful character actor. And he was good in this.
He was.
You almost kind of see the tragedy of, you know, his personal life, because he seemed like he was a little amped up. When he stares at you, you got to match that stare. And Sandler did not back down from that stare.
No.
And he went nose to nose. And I watched that. I mean, that scene, I watched Philip Seymour Hoffman stare down Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler stared him down.
Yeah.
And that wasn't acting. I mean, those are two guys trying to
do their thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was powerful. I mean, like I said, I mean, chills went up. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that line right there, there's a love in my life.
Yeah.
That gives me more power than you could. I put a lump in my throat. I'm like, really? Wow, that is prophetic. Right. Who is this guy? And I loved Barry. I wanted Barry to win right then and there.
That's
and then
my favorite part.
I warned you.
Yeah. It becomes a superhero movie. What about you, Max Gumbo Johnson? When you look back at this film and you think about things you got to talk about, name one.
Some stuff that's already been brought up, but that long, it's probably about a 10-minute scene where he's trying to sell the plungers.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps getting the phone calls and the music slowly starts building. Yeah.
The guy in the background?
And,
but then you get the colors to start coming in at the end, almost like, I guess, a migraine headache. That's what I wanted to say.
And it just slowly builds and gets more chaotic, and then his sister's calling, and then one of them shows up, and then the damn plunger breaks, and he says, oh, that's one of the old ones. We'll get another one. Oh, you're Barry, your sister's on the phone. It almost seems like there were no edits in there when you think back on it.
There's a lot of long shots.
There's a lot of long tracking shots. Almost like a long shot. It may have actually been a 10-minute single shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about this earlier, the way it builds and builds and builds and builds till it's just, the tension is just ratcheted up to the point.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming.
You're overwhelmed. You're sitting there thinking, God, no wonder this guy's an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
Nobody will leave him alone for long enough to get anything done. His sisters are just all over him saying, you come to the party. And then, you know, when you find out the eventual thing with about the Emily Watson character, and you're like, oh, that's crazy that all this happened.
Yeah.
And his sisters were hounding him the whole time.
Yeah.
And his complete meltdown at the party.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
I love that. I completely love that.
Yeah.
He cries sometimes. Right. She tells his date that.
All this stuff could have gone terribly cliche. Yeah. With him, like, just doing that, you know, face in the hands. That could have gone really bad really quick. Him staring down Philip Seymour Hoffman, that could have gone really bad, you know, really quick. But they held it together. I'm talking with that line. Feels kind of like a cliche line, as powerful as it is. But he holds it together, and he says it with such conviction that you totally believe every word of it.
Which line are you talking about?
There's a love in my life. Oh, gives me more power than you can imagine.
Well, I'm thinking about the line when he comes back out and says, well, I told you, in any other filmmaker's hands, Barry would have gone back there and beat that guy's ass.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He held it back. He's like, okay, this is the point in my life. I've got to keep things under control because I've got something worth holding on to now. Turns around and just walks out.
I got distracted by the guy in the background testing all the plungers.
I thought that was just nice.
He was sitting there just banging on them, trying to find the right ones.
That's funny.
That's funny.
While all that was building up, I didn't even recognize that because I was staring at the guy in the background.
You know, you're easily distracted.
At that point, you needed kind of something in the background to make you grin. And he knew to put that in there to me. And also, as far as some great details in this film to me, Adam Sandler walks through this long, barren, sad office. He walks through this long, barren, sad warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
He looks out. There's a long, barren, sad walkway. Right. He gets to the end of the street. There's a long, barren, sad road.
Yeah.
He was just sad, barren, and everywhere he went was a long, lonely road.
Yeah.
I wrote that down, too. I wrote down long walk shots, but even like in her apartment when he leaves her apartment and she calls.
That too, what a terrible place to live. Then.
I agree, but having him try to like go through the maze of her apartment again, he's so good with numbers, you're kind of going, how did he forget her apartment number? That seems like something.
Love made him go crazy.
I think so, too.
But what a terrible design of a place. That place is the worst place to live.
But that was a great scene of him like just looking at the numbers and trying to figure out how to get back to her. And then when they finally do, no hesitation whatsoever, just going right for the kiss. And that was a great scene.
Everything was white and gray, and there was too many exit signs.
We're still talking about the wrong thing. Wow.
I think it wanted you to feel this way, Adam. It wasn't a slight on the film.
It goes straight into the warehouse, too. The warehouse was blue walls, you know.
Oh, the warehouse was just tragic. That is what this story is. Punch Drunk Love is a tragedy.
Yes.
With a certain amount of hopeful redemption at the end, but it's a powerfully well done tragedy.
I think so too.
Yeah.
What was it that he said? He couldn't believe he said to her as he left, like, okay, all right, then bye bye then.
Oh,
or something like that.
And he's cussing himself.
Cursing himself walking out the hallway.
Like, you mother.
Stupid mother. Ever.
It was like something like, later, Gator.
Yeah, something like that.
Later, Gator.
And then he runs like hell when she calls him, catches him walking out. Right. I would have kissed you right now. Oh, okay. I'll be there in a minute. And he's just hauling ass up there.
Oh, the concierge or whatever, the parking lot attendant.
Yeah, well, the best part about that is you think that the porn people have found her now.
Right.
That's what I thought. And I was like, oh, man, this is getting just crazy. But it turned out to be something super sweet.
Well, hey. I like that, too, is where he was running from them, and they come. I was like, where are you going? We know where you live.
Oh, yeah. And then he's in the car wreck. That was a great scene.
Oh, the car wreck.
The best part's when he actually grabs the crowbar, nails the other dude, and walks up and just hands it to
the
other
guy. Yeah, I like
that,
too. There was something about
and
that.
And just walks away.
Yeah, and now let's talk about the relationship here. And there's two ways that this relationship's built. Two scenes in particular. The one in Hawaii, when they actually get together, they consummate the thing. But the big introduction, when they're on the date, and he walks into the bathroom, and he tears the bathroom apart. That's one that made me...
Oh, at the restaurant?
I mean, if you're watching the movie at that point, how can you not say, I have to see where this ends? What did you think of this scene, Max? What do you think of it?
I like the scene where he tears up the bathroom. I like the part afterwards where the
he's
maitre
denying
d'
it.
Says, excuse me, sir, someone just tore up our bathroom. Oh, really? Oh, we believe it was you. No,
I didn't do it.
I
didn't
know what you're talking about. No. That was great.
Sir,
I guess we better leave.
And he comes out and says, I don't like this place. We have to leave.
Yeah. I love that.
It does make me a little worried about their future together.
Well, he doesn't freak out much.
Well, I don't know. I think you noticed that he was at his calmest when he was with her.
Yeah.
Until the restaurant.
This is not so much a comedy the more I think about it.
It really is a tragic story.
Well, Adam Sandler. Yeah. I mean, and the little things happening behind the scenes. And I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman was hilarious.
I did too.
I just wish there would have been a little bit more of that.
The more I thought about this, the more I liked the fact that he wasn't utilized as much. Because the couple of scenes he had was... He's behind the phone acting all big and bad because he's not going to be threatened physically.
Yeah, he's protected by anonymity and
Then all of a sudden when he's confronted, he's backs down like a little coward.
Well, I think he knew. I mean, that's what really stood out. I mean, here's a guy showed up to kick your butt with a phone ripped out of the wall you talked to him on 6 hours ago.
Right.
He knew. I stepped in something. You know, I was reading some stuff online. People say that the kissing scene, the silhouette scene, is one of the favorite scenes of a lot of people in film. You know, when they kiss or him in Hawaii. Yeah. What did you think of the Hawaii scene? I like the scene on the phone, the payphone.
I did too.
Sister.
It's innocent. And
yeah. What did you think of the Hawaii scene?
I mean, but I'm resonating with the tragedy of this character, and that's one of it. I mean, he's trying to escape that, and he's lying to himself. He's lying to everybody, but he tries to lie to her, but he can't really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm here for business. Well, not really. Yeah. I'm here to see you. What are you doing right now? You know, he just shows up, and I'm surprised he landed on the right island.
Yeah, no doubt.
On the phone scene, what I really thought was good was when he was trying to call her, the moment he actually got in touch with her, the light on the phone lit up.
Yeah, I saw that too.
The light on the phone.
Yeah, it reversed.
The payphone?
Yeah.
He's at the payphone. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get a hold of her, and he calls the room, and somebody else answers. He tries again, which is I wouldn't have done, by the way. I would have been like, forget her. I'm done. But the second she picks up and you hear her voice, the almost like a street light.
Okay.
Street lights were turning on.
Okay.
It was like that in the phone.
Like the light in his life came on.
Yeah, that's it. It was a really nice touch.
One quick thing about that scene I want to point out is then he says, okay, well, where are you from, and how long you worked, and where'd you grow? You just realized that he flew all the way to Hawaii to see a girl he has no idea where she's from, where she grew up, anything about her. I mean, that's how bad he needed to be there.
Yeah.
Gumbo, let's talk about some of that there, the relationship between Sandler and Emily Watson. Did you like it? Did it work for you?
I thought it was great. And to go back to that scene where he's on the phone, you could tell from the change in the light, he was on the phone for hours.
Didn't pick up on that.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Better at this than
well, it was.
I guess that would make sense with the light.
It was daylight.
You're right.
When he started calling,
right.
And by the time he was finished and finally hung up and said, "Okay, what hotel are you at?" Yeah. I mean, it was pitch black and the lights were on. His whole you're so empathetic with him through the whole thing. He's so awkward and so
damaged.
Well, damaged, yeah. But there's this innocence in him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to deal with a woman outside of his sister. He's so used to being made fun of and called gay boy and say, oh, you remember that time you threw the hammer across the room when you're trying to make a doghouse? He's like, nah, it was a birdhouse, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's horribly introverted.
And, he's so set up to fail and be made fun of by women that he doesn't know how to relate to a woman.
Yeah.
So I kind of related to him.
You know what else?
Did you now?
You know what, Savage? You know what I want to do? I want to smash your face with a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
I
what
just
was
want to
that?
Take out your cheek and I just want to bite it.
How is that not funny?
Yeah,
they both needed the same thing as twisted as it was.
That was funny.
I guess so. I suppose so.
Yeah. And we're talking about the 2002 film Punch Drunk Love.
fantastic. We didn't even talk about the phone sex girl.
He did not hit it off with the phone sex girl.
No. And she was kind of cute, so I'll give her that.
She was a little frumpy.
Georgia?
She was cutting Hoffman's hair. She's also I guess she cuts hair, does all kinds of stuff, works in the mattress store.
I wouldn't throw her out of
phone
bed.
Sex line, you know.
But that's just me.
She had a good voice.
Yeah, they all do, Adam. You know that, right?
I do.
That's why they have that job.
Didn't you used to do that?
I still do.
Yeah.
Didn't you call me last night?
No.
You said your name was Bill?
I'm not Bill. Oh. I'm William.
You wanted me to put on a blue suit and nothing else, remember? Oh, never mind.
By the way, I called that phone number, his phone number in the movie.
Wait a second. What?
What number he gave.
He gave his actual phone number.
Oh, did you really?
Movie.
You called that?
I called it just to see who would answer.
you nerd. And it said, that's awesome.
It said, this number is not available at this time or something like that. No. What was it? 818-744-3993.
555 something.
No, it was an actual phone number.
So what? You say it again. You called it and what happened?
It just said, it rang a couple times and said, this number is not available or something. I was hoping P.T. Anderson would answer.
Were you?
Maybe Fiona Apple. I don't know.
Maybe back in the day he did.
You were hoping Fiona
in
Apple.
I was actually hoping Fiona Apple.
Maybe Chloe from 24.
Or Chloe, but actually Fiona Apple would have been better.
Well, let's end it there, guys. Let's take a break. Listen to a piece of God knows what from the film Punch Drunk Love. We'll come back with our top three emotional breakdowns in movies.
Hello? Lena!
Yeah?
Hi, this is Barry Egan.
Hey,
Mom!
Hi, Lena!
Yeah? I didn't hear you.
I just want to know if Lena wants to do it, right?
I'm just calling you. I'm standing in my hotel room.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm here on my business trip.
Let's do something. Do you want to do something?
Yeah, you don't have a boyfriend or anything, do you?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I just wanted to know. When's the last time you had a boyfriend?
About 6 months ago, right?
I just wanted to make sure.
Well, when's the last time you had a girlfriend?
Were you ever married?
Yeah.
Okay. How long were you married for?
Do you want to meet me and talk about this stuff?
Okay. Where are you from originally?
Because he needs me.
Okay, there's a piece of the film, 2002, Punch Drunk Love. It gets us to our top three. Top three emotional breakdowns in film.
Yeah.
There's more than one. There's more than two. There's a bunch of these out there. The more you think about it.
Wow. Right. I had a tough time with this list.
Did you really?
Yeah. I still have not decided exactly on my number one.
Well, you just see how you're inspired. Fly by the seat of your pants. All right, so let's get into it. Top three emotional breakdowns in film. What is it, Savage? What you going with number three?
I'll stick with, I guess, P.T. Anderson. I'm going to go with the Master when he has his famous pig. When the interviewer guy is interviewing him and keeps harassing him. He's like, what do you want? Bing. You know the saying.
Yeah, yeah. At the front of the house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When it just jumps on him and starts beating him.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a great breakdown right there.
Yeah.
It's a sinister emotional breakdown.
Yeah. So, the Master.
Whenever there's like emotional breakdowns and there's emotional breakdowns that end in violence.
Yeah.
I like those.
I like the ones in death.
I do. I enjoy them. Hoodie, it's up to you. Number three, emotional breakdowns in film. What's your number three?
I went with Bridesmaids, the wedding rehearsal.
Loved it.
Fantastic. Chocolate fountain. It was just hilarious.
Chocolate fountain.
That's a great answer.
Still makes me laugh. Fun.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That was a great, great breakdown.
I haven't seen that, I guess.
You've never seen Bridesmaids?
Wow.
Sorry, excuse me.
It's coming out of me like lava. I love it.
It's pretty good, man.
I'm going to have to check it out. I'll watch it.
Producer, number three, emotional breakdowns in film inspired by Punch Drunk Love. What's your number three?
Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to think about it for a second.
That's not bad.
That's a good one. She didn't say a lot,
but she said things with other things. She said things with her actions.
With her emotions.
Yes.
Yeah. She said things with her emotions.
With her anorexia.
Good on you, Adam. Yeah, with her anorexia.
She was anorexic.
Max, your answer, they're all going to laugh at you, I'm sure. But
No.
Yeah, you liked that, didn't you, producer? Number three, emotional breakdowns in film.
Wow, this was really tough. I'm going to have to go with Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobile when he's trying to rent a car. That's so good.
Yeah. Love Steve Martin.
You love Steve Martin, but then to see him, I've heard him curse before, but never drop that many F-bombs in one minute scene.
That makes it that much better.
Which makes it even better.
That was so good.
It's like, oh, it's great. Somebody's doing this, but It's Steve Martin. Makes it 1,000 times better.
I like that he had his tie tied up around his head to cover his ears. Yeah. That was a great scene. I love that. That's a classic breakdown. I'm going to go with Office Space. The copier beatdown.
Oh, well, yeah. Planned.
That's a great one.
They didn't break down. That was premeditated.
They put a hit on that. Right. I like the guy. They kept having to actually drag him away. He's carrying the cord off at the end like it was entrails.
Right. Nice.
Right.
Tearing that fax machine up.
Hated that fax machine.
Right.
You can just call me Mike. That's fine.
All right.
Savage, number two for you.
Number
what is
two,
it?
Man. I'm going with Corporal Hudson and Aliens, man. Game over, man. Game over.
What are we going to do now, man?
I don't know if you've been paying attention to current events.
That was on my list.
That scene actually had the two best lines in, like, Alien trilogy history.
We already discussed this, Matt.
Always.
We're going to discuss it again.
But they're the best. Matt, we know.
Matt loves it.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Mostly. The answer is mostly.
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 If we've already discussed it, you guys should have known that.
I knew it. I just didn't chime in.
Hoodie, I like your answers, mostly. What's your number two?
Deadfall with Nicolas Cage.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Yeah, it's. I'm surprised it's not on your
first
list.
First off, it's Nicolas Cage.
Right, it's all Nicolas Cage movies.
Right. Yeah, no, you need to. There's a. Just watch it. It's retarded. He goes nuts.
He goes Nicolas nuts. Cage nuts, right.
This is what people think of as. This is Nicolas Cage crazy. This is.
When they think
crazy.
Of crazy Nick
he's
Cage.
He's on the bed. Somebody tried to kill him or something. He's on the bed, like, just flopping around, no doubt. Screaming. And it's like, what is this guy doing? The acting is so awful. It's just so bad. It's so Nicolas Cage.
Producer, number two, what?
Go get your shine box.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Pesci, Goodfellas.
That's a breakdown.
God, how would I forget that?
Yeah.
Adam's coming up with some good stuff.
Good on you, man. Good job, producer. You produced a pretty quality answer there, one that got by me. How could I forget that?
I forgot it, too.
That's crazy. Gumbo Johnson, number two, reveal.
Walter Sobchak. Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
Any scene.
Without a doubt.
Nice.
Right. It's either going to have to be the over-the-line Donnie scene or the beating up the Corvette scene.
The beating up the Corvette scene.
You mean what happens when a stranger does something?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
When you meet a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps, Larry.
I think I'm going to have to go with the vet scene.
Oh, every bit of it. Yeah.
But the bowling alley scene over the line, Donnie, was so great. When he pulls out the gun, am I the only one that follows the rules?
Yeah, that was so good, man. Right. That is an excellent, excellent answer. Up to me, right?
Yeah, number two.
Let's double down on the Steve Martin because I think a big shot over at the bun place got together with a big shot over at the wiener store. And I'm talking about Father of the Bride in the grocery store.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen what?
I haven't seen Father of the
You know
Bride.
What I'm talking about?
I'll
bet a big shot at the wiener store got together with a big shot at the bun store. Remember he was going off because he had to buy 8 buns and only 6 wieners?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, I've seen that
they
scene.
Put him in jail?
No,
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry, I don't go in for Father of the Bride.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a great breakdown.
You should put that on your list next to Bridesmaids.
I'll put it on my list with Bridesmaids.
You're so pretentious. I won't watch a Bridesmaids movie. I won't watch a Father of the
Bride. Is it on Netflix?
Anything with Bride in it. You just don't want anything to do with it.
Is it on Netflix?
No, sorry.
Okay, well, then when it comes up, I'll watch it.
I'm just messing. Are we up to number ones?
Number one.
You got to be kidding me.
Look at that. It's already number one.
Savage Boogeyman, what?
All right. When it came up, emotional breakdowns, or that's... You know, burst arrays, but emotional breakdowns. When I think of emotional breakdowns, for me, the quintessential emotional breakdown to me in cinema is Martin Sheen, Captain Willard, Apocalypse Now, in the room.
Oh, man.
That is a slow burn. You almost get embarrassed for watching it.
You wanted to hold him, didn't you? You just wanted to be there for him.
You get embarrassed for being there to see it. It's,
yeah.
And he just breaks down. And apparently... Yeah. That was kind of a real breakdown, too.
It was a real breakdown.
Didn't he stay up for like 2 or 3 days before shooting?
He was completely drunk. He had a heart attack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He really punched that bear, cut his hand wide open.
Yeah. Man. And they had to take like 2 months off or something. They used body doubles crazy. For the next
scene. Yeah, for him to recuperate from a heart attack.
Right.
Yeah, I read a lot about this scene somewhere. Yeah.
Like, wait, he had a heart attack in that scene or just?
Pretty much.
I've heard that he had a heart attack. I didn't realize that was the point.
You know what, though? That's really not great acting. That's just like, you're having a heart attack. I'm going to film it.
Well, he powered through, though. So. Yeah.
I mean, if I was having a heart attack right now and you filmed it, you'd be like, that's a great performance, Michael. No, I'm having a heart attack over here.
Why are you peeing yourself, buddy?
Yeah. Well, it looks great. I'm going to keep filming.
He's a method guy.
Hoodie, I want to know your number one so bad I could pee myself. So what is it?
Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
10 minutes it takes this guy to tear apart his room.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good answer.
That's the best number. It's it. That's the one.
I don't know.
No, that is.
Not bad at all.
We got three more number ones.
Yeah, let's go to it. Adam, number one for you, producer. What is it?
Y'all bear with me. I know y'all
are
going to hate
barren,
this.
I'm barren.
Yeah, of course we're going to hate it.
Okay, so Godzilla had a kid.
No.
Tetsuo Part 2.
Freddy got mad at his mother. What?
No. What happens when you can't have a school dance? You go to the torn down abandoned building and you dance.
Footloose.
Cut Footloose.
Uh-oh. No, I thought about Footloose. That's not
an emotional breakdown?
Okay.
No, that's not an emotional breakdown.
It's not. Okay.
You know what? Those still better than Deliverance as an adventure film.
Right. How about Leatherface at the end of Texas Chainsaw
That's
Master?
Better. That's better. Okay. Let him have that.
No, because he's still dancing.
But he was lost from the hole. He was crazy.
He was just dancing with a chainsaw.
What's your number one, Max? Spill it.
Number one. Network, Howard Beale.
Oh, yeah. He even tells you. I'm mad as hell.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to go to your windows, open them up, and stick your head out. I'll stop screaming.
Yeah.
And you know the rest.
Let me tell you what. I'm going to tell you what my number one is, and it's probably not one that's known, probably not one that anybody has thought of, but it's still the most effective breakdown I've ever seen in film, and that is
Deliverance.
Michael Shannon in Take Shelter, one that made me cower in my seat. Because you wondered for 2 hours, what is this guy feeling inside? And when he puts it at you, you're like, oh, okay, okay. It was powerful. Powerful, powerful movie.
He breaks down in every movie he's in. Right?
One of my all-time favorite films, Take Shelter.
I still want to see that movie.
How did nobody say, like, Falling Down?
Well, listen, I put this out on Twitter real quickly. I got some new responses here. I want to give some shout-outs. Did you know that Daniel Burden at DanBurden1138 says, Nick Cage and everything. two word movie review said, how about pretty much every single Nick Cage movie?
Yeah, that guy, check out Deadfall.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to watch that now.
Let me see here. Steven Simone at T Dragon Simone says Tom Courtney had a great one in The Dresser. I have no idea.
Oh,
no.
The Dresser, that's old.
Craig Sauer at Bosco House says Crash Davis, Bull Durham, drunk in a bar with a pool ball. The King of Men, I love this guy's name, The King of Men at The Guitar Beast, says The Big Lebowski, almost every scene. At Baz and Baz says, this is what you get when you do something with a stranger Lebowski. In the Alps.
When you take an adventure.
Jody Hart at NZ Film Freak said, absolutely, Bridesmaid, best flip out ever.
Best.
So that brings
one last one, Bruno Gaines and Downfall, the Hitler meme that you see all over the internet.
That's the one.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that wraps this one up, guys. This was Punch Drunk Love 2002. Big reveal. To my right eye go.
That's right. It's mine.
It's yours.
I just noticed this popped up on Netflix last night. I don't know how long it's been up there, but I don't think any of y'all have seen this movie except me. So we're going to be doing Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation, starring Gene Hackman and Shirley
MacLaine.
I've seen it, Max.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yes.
No, Shirley from Laverne and Shirley.
Ah. Oh,
Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams.
Wait, I think it was 75, maybe?
Somewhere in there.
Mid-70s.
Mid-70s, Francis Ford Coppola. We need that. We haven't done a Francis Ford
74.
Coppola.
74. Fantastic movie.
Looking forward to it. You've brought this up before. Are you sure it's on Netflix?
I'm positive.
Don't you saw tease
it
me.
Pop up
sure
there? It popped up last night.
It's fresh.
Yeah, it's
fresh. The Conversation. All right, that's next time. So if you want to watch it, do it. And then you come back here and see if you agree or disagree with us. And thanks as always, tuning into The Queue. If you want to offer your thoughts on this film we just reviewed, Punch Drunk Love, or any of the other ones, you can do that. Go to thequeuefilmcast.net and give us your thoughts. We dig it. So join us again next week. Queue it up. Knock it down. The Conversation. We're talking mid-70s Francis Ford Coppola. Sab, have you seen this film?
I have not.
I couldn't remember if you said you've seen it or not.
No.
All right, so I think, Max, you might be the only one.
Golden Age auteur
filmmaker.
Hey, I
just said I saw it.
Yeah, right, you don't count.
He's screaming from the back.
I saw it.
The Conversation next week. We will cue it. We will review it. That's it. However you say good night.
love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine. I would say that's that, Mattress Man.
All right. That's that.